who's ever not made a mistake in life? I'm guessing we've all made some mistakes in 20... Oh, AJ, you're perfect. That's not what my mum and dad tell me, but anyway, that's... you know, you're a character, I'll give you that. Isn't it great having young people in the house of God? Always adds to the variety. And so great having you guys here, all of you guys this morning. And obviously, whether you've been on holidays or doing road trips, I saw some of your stuff on Facebook. Great to have you in church today. Okay, it's a new year. Make it a new year. Oh, okay. Let me give you the definition of new, all right? It's really not hard. It's brand new. Say it with me, I can have a brand new life this year. It really is up to you, is it not? It's up to the minute, the dictionary says. It's up to date. Who'd like to be more up to date this year? Who'd like to learn something new? Who cannot operate an iPad or a tablet here this morning? Don't put your hands up. Oh, you have put your hands up. Why don't you make it a new year? Come on. It's never too late. My mum started 2 years ago and now she's even on Facebook. She's 76 years old. Come on. Do something new in your life. You know, what else does it say about it in the dictionary? It says it's the latest. It's current. It's advanced and modern. You know, sometimes church is not seen that way, but we can be up to date, can't we? And so it was David who actually said, "Let me hear of your unfailing love in the morning. I have come to you in prayer." One of the best things you can do in your life in 2015. It is 2015, isn't it? Yeah. I was thinking 2016 because people have been, some of my pastor friends have been talking about 2016. I'm thinking, no, don't race ahead. It's 2015 and it's a new year. It's too late at the end of the day to bring your request to God because the day's gone. So when you get up in the morning, what's one of the first things you can do? Pray. What's one of the best things you can do in the morning? Pray. What's one of the most important things you can do in the morning? Pray and read your Bible. Because by the end of the day, it's no longer a new day, and you might have missed out on what God wants to do with you on that day because you haven't heard what He's got for you. So make it a new day, every day, by giving time to God. And sometimes you're busy. Well, at least wake up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this great day." Do something. Every day I need help. My wife tells me that all the time, but you know, every day I need help. Do you? Am I the only one? I need help. You know, I've got to get into the zone. Now, if you're on holidays and you've just been a bit lazy, that's okay. You know, I'm sure God understands. But you know, that when we get into the new, we've got to be in touch with God, right? And so, look, the best thing you can do, just on this, the best thing you can do is in the morning is actually pray, read the word, maybe mull on one particular verse. And also, if you're a worship type, and even I do this, and God doesn't seem to mind, I will sing in my garage. I will actually, and you know, I'm out of key. The dog next door goes, ooh, makes this horrible whining noise. We've got two dogs next door now. I have to be careful. I don't, you know, scream and shout too much. But, you know, God enjoys our praise. He enjoys you. But you can live in the old and not give Him any time at all. So which one would you rather be in? Be in the new. Anyway, so there we go. That's just a bit of an opening. New Year's resolutions. Forbes, they're a like statistic sort of people, and they have done the statistics on New Year's resolutions. Who's made some New Year's resolutions, by the way? Some people do. Quite a few of you. Well, do you want the good news or the bad news? Because it's really not good. Only 8% of people will achieve their goals worldwide. There is a large difference between making resolutions and achieving them, one because of the demands on life, but also it's because you are who you are, and just because it's on the 31st of December at midnight, it changes to a new year, you're still the same person. And so you're still going to have some of those same issues that carry through with you, whether you like it or not, into 2015, correct? That's not rocket science, is it? But I've got to tell you, there's someone that is far greater than us that can make things change over a period of time. And we can become discipled by him and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us because we're in relationship and we're saying, Lord, help me with this situation. And I'm praying in faith. And that's why next week I said we pray about our dreams, some of the goals that perhaps we haven't seen accomplished in our life. And what a great way to actually allow Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Henry B. Wilson made this quote: he who finds diamonds, for all our Liberians here this morning, he who finds diamonds must grapple in mud and mire, because diamonds are not found in polished stones, they are made. And I want to ask you a question: will you allow God to make you this year? Will you allow God to make you? The new, the shiny, the good stuff comes. It comes from the rough. Who's a bit rough on the edges? Just me? Who needs some help with their flesh life? Who needs some help with things in their world? It happens because of the new in our life through Christ. And it's Jesus Christ who offers new life in the fullest possible way. He deals with the past as God for us, giving forgiveness, and in so doing, preventing past failures from contaminating our future. You know, when we give our life to God and we say, Lord, forgive what those things that I've done wrong, he's wiped the slate clean. It can be a brand new day. Amen? So let's live in the new. We can travel unburdened with God's presence into the future. So let me read a couple of scriptures to you this morning. I've got a few points here. The first one: sing a new song. Shout it out with me. Sing a new song. Okay, Psalm 33, verse 3. And then let's read it together. Psalm 40, verse 3. He has put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Psalm 149, 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Do you think God wants you to sing a new song? Come on. That's just the Psalms. There's other scriptures, believe me, and we're going to get to some of them this morning. Secondly, renew your financial commitment to God. Have we got that one? I'm sure we have. Here we go. All right. Oh. We've lost it. All right, I'll do it myself. So Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Come with me. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. It's up there, is it? Oh, great. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Who'd like some new wine in their life this year? Come on. You know, there's so much joy. I was thinking about this, the first miracle that Jesus ever did. It's pretty incredible. So all the religious bones, just shake them up a bit today. Because the first miracle Jesus ever did was at the end of the party. The wine had run out, and you just don't run out of wine at the Middle East party. It's just not the done thing. And he turns water into the best Grange wine possible, $1,000 a bottle, and it's flowing freely. I'm telling you, Jesus is into having fun. He's into the new, and he wants to make you have your best life by obeying his commands, and he was showing the people that he wants you to have a good life, not just an ordinary life, not running out, but enjoying who he is. Oh, only a couple of people clapped. Okay. Let's give Lord a clap anyway. That'd be cool. And thirdly, renew your heart and spirit. I'm going to talk about these a little bit in a minute. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "Then I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within them." Who feels like their old heart needs a bit of a rework? Oh, mine does. I'll put a new spirit within him. What's that spirit, guys? How do we get that spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of Christ in us, helping us do life. We can't do without him. What did Jesus, you know, say when John 14 talks about it, when he went up into heaven, he says, "I'm going to leave you someone." Who's he going to leave? The devil? No. Your cat? Your dog? Fish in the ocean? No, he leaves us with someone who connects with us, who is God, who was in Christ on the cross, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there for a reason. We have a new heart through the Spirit. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things are past. All things become. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Those guys have put on the new man today. It's your best day. You're putting on the new person. The life that comes to you is through Christ. And fourthly, renew your future. In 2 Peter 3:13, there's this great scripture. According to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, Revelation 21:1 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." And so we don't want to get too attached to this earth, because this earth is going to pass away. So in actual fact, it's what? It's going to be old. And so our life and our spiritual DNA is not in this world. It's in the world to come. And so we need to be careful in 2015 that we align ourselves with the new heaven. God is new for us every morning. And so you have to train, if you're anything like me, you have to train your mind to forget your past. Who finds it difficult to let go of the past sometimes? I do. I really do. I've made some blunders in my life. I'm not real proud of them. Am I the only one? Oh, good. I've got some friends. That's great. I was worried. See, I really struggled to let go of a decision that I made a few years ago. I really struggled with it. Really struggled with it. It was really getting me down, actually. And one day, I was in my garage early in the morning and I was praying and I was feeling a bit negative about this situation. It popped into my head. God said to me, "Let it go. Let it." Say it with me. Let it go. There's things in our lives that God wants us to let go of. Let it go. One more time, because some of you are still holding on. Let it
go.
Let it
go.
Oh, that feels better. That was good for me as well. Let it go. Stuff gets into our psyche. But God wants us to move on. You have to train your mind to forget your failures. What did I say? You have to train to forget your failures. And this is really my key scripture for the morning, although we've got lots, I know. Isaiah 43:18-19 in the New King James, it says this: "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's Isaiah 43:18. I'll come back to it later, Conrad, in the New King James. So, number one, sing a new song. Say it with me. Sing a
new song.
I'm guessing if you're anything like me, like I said, you've made plenty of blunders and mistakes. You wished you could have changed your mind, but it's too late. And God is saying that he has an erase button, and all the sins you've committed, all the things you wished you could change, zip, gone. God's able to do that. You're feeling terrible about something, but God's already forgotten about it. Now, having said that, if you've grieved the Holy Spirit, the Bible says to repent. Let's say this word because it's not used very much. Repent. One more time. Repent. There are situations in our life that we need to repent of because they grieve the Holy Spirit. And this may take some time. It will definitely take opening up to someone, because when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So it will be wrong of me to just say that God just forgets everything, because if you go against the word of God, then you actually need to get back in the right place with God, right? And so there's a dual relationship that must happen. And so if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, get right with him this morning. And this may take time, like I've said, but he loves you. The house of God, the people that he puts in place love you. Let's do it together so that we can be brand new people together. Amen? It's better to get rid of the old, even if it takes losing some of your pride or some of your shame over that situation. Because the best thing is that everyone, we want to go towards heaven, and we're not going to be going towards heaven while we're holding on to actions that are creating problems because they're the old man. We want to live in the new man. So repentance, the definition is sincere regret. It's remorse and deep sorrow for a past sin. In Hebrews 4:1, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful. Say it with me. Be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So what the Bible's saying is you don't want to fall out of faith with God, because we believe the word of God, but we're actually not following it. Our actions are not according to the word of God. And if we're going to live in the new, we've got to allow the word of God to be the most biggest the priority in our world. I don't know how else to say it. And so we're either living in the new by our actions, or we're living in the old. And our actions are not where God wants us to be. Come on, let's stand and be courageous and have a great year in 2015, because we say, you know, that's no longer going to be a part of my life. I'm letting it go. You may need to let go of some relationships. Let them go, because God is Lord. Faith is trusting in the word of God, which changes our actions. And God did something that we often forget. He shed some blood. He washed the slate clean. And so when we get right with God, there's no misdemeanor. It's like, I don't know anything about that anymore. But at least do the process. That's repentance. And so God did something. When Isaiah was prophesying, and he says, I do not remember the former things. I do not remember the former things. Come on, let's put off the old way. Get right with God, and then we can say, with God, thank you that you don't remember the former things. You don't have to carry the shame anymore. You don't have to carry that guilt. It's gone. And whilst you are holding on to those former things, you will find it extremely difficult to sing a new song. Because God wants you to be in faith so that you can sing a new song, and so that what comes out of your mouth is positive. But while you're hanging on to actions that are actually in the old man, it's destroying your relationship in the new. It's destroying where you're going toward heaven. You may not make it. The Bible says to fear him. Oh, that's a bit heavy for a New Year's. I'll tell you what. I'd rather see people going towards God than away from him any day of the week. Ephesians 4:22 says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted. Who's ever been corrupted by deceitful desires? Am I the only one again? to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We're created to be like? We're created to be like? Absolutely. So sing a new song. Praise Him. When you come into church, don't sit there. I don't like that pastor. He's mean. Well, sing a new song and you'll probably get the idea. Come on, let's allow God to be Lord of our life. It will help you change your thoughts. It will help you to change your confession. Give Him something to work with. Put faith into action. Start singing, "Thank you, Lord, I have a great life. Thank you, Lord, I have a great life because you are part of my life." That's why I don't sing in church, but anyway. See, when you sing a new song, it's hard to sing an old song. Yeah? Faith rises within you. Immediately you sing a new song and your future's brighter. Let's just do a little bit of a survey. Who feels better after the worship service this morning than before they came into the presence of God? Sing a new song. That's why we will always worship God. Paul and Silas were baptizing people in the book of Acts, and Paul was actually getting a little bit ticked off. You know, godly men sometimes get ticked off. And he was really godly. And he was getting a bit ticked off with this demon-possessed girl that was going around just trying to destroy what their ministry. People were getting healed, baptisms happening, all sorts of things. And in the end, he got so fed up, and he just looked at her and said, "In the name of Jesus, demon, come out of her." The demon left. But then she was making money off because of her clairvoyance and everything else. And they ended up in prison, right in the dungeons with clamped feet, with all the rats and all the smelly things where you don't want to be. And you know, the amazing thing is that they started to sing a new song. And when they sang that new song, the earthquake happened and they were able to be set free. What an amazing, amazing testimony to the goodness of God in the worst situations. Secondly, renew your financial commitment to God. Say it with me, renew your financial commitment to God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Let me just outlay it a little bit. Honor the Lord with your possessions is the first part. Let me ask you a question. Who owns your possessions? Say it with me. Who owns your possessions? I thought they were mine. Who owns your possessions? They're God's, aren't they? They're the Lord's. Honor the Lord with what He has provided you with. Yeah? Come on, one of the best things you can do in 2015 is honor the Lord with what He's given you. Second, with the first fruits of all your increase. Whatever is incoming, say it with me, whatever is incoming, give God first priority with a tenth of the increase. That's honoring God. 2015. Make that a goal for your life. Why? See, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your barns will be filled with, this is talking about our homes. Our homes will be filled with more than enough. Our homes are going to be a place of blessing. Our homes are going to have the peace of God. Our homes are going to have the Holy Spirit resting on them. Our homes, when people come over, we're going to have enough food. We're going to have enough wine. We're going to have enough because there is a cycle that happens in God when we give to Him. And He brings blessing back into our world. Lastly, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your vats will overflow with new wine. It's speaking about our households, like I was saying, having more than enough. Speaking about overflow. Speaking about being happy. Speaking about having joy in our spirit because of what Christ is to us. It's speaking about abundance. The vats that store the wine, the reservoirs are full. Who'd like to have full reservoirs in 2015? Isaiah 43:19. Let's go back to it. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. When you honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your increase, with your tithe, we call it, you can rely on him for supply, and the new wine isn't going to come. It's simply not going to be there if you don't actually give him this area of your life. It's hard to actually believe for increase financially if you're not giving him something that he can work with. So when you give God priority with your giving, with your tithing, his desire is for you to receive his increase. God wants he wants you to have your best life. He really does. He says, I have more than enough for you. I have resources that you know nothing about. I don't know how many times I've thought that, well, this is going to be an interesting couple of weeks financially. And God has done some incredible things. Put him first and watch what he will do in your life. You know, Abraham was praying for years for a son. And God not only gave him a son, but actually gave him a nation as well. God says to Abraham one day, go up to this mountain. See all this land, I'm going to give it to you. And he promised him a son as well. See, God doesn't want you to bargain with this world. And he had an opportunity, Abraham, with Melchizedek, the king, and another king that said, hey, let's bargain together with the prophets. But Abraham said, no, this is the Lord's victory. It's not because of your doing. It's not because of the things in this world that have made this victory happen. And we have to be sure in our spirits, and that's the new man, and go, you know what? Every bit of increase, every victory I have, it's because the Lord's on my side. And behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. So thirdly, renew your heart and spirit. A new thing is a new thing. Say it with me. A new thing is a... Yes, it's very deep, I know. It's not old. Forget the old. Forget it. You're not relying on old revelation. You're not relying on past experiences or other people's faith. What you may have always done, you are fresh, you are new, because God is with you every day. And the new man lays down the old in order to receive the new. And I think we need to do that regularly. Lord, I lay down my mistakes today. Forgive me. I wasn't too nice in that relationship with my family or with my brother and sister. I shouldn't have done that with my friends. But Lord, I'm laying my life aside, that old way. And Lord, please come into my life afresh today. I receive of your new life. Amen? See, Abraham, all he wanted was a son. God did give him Isaac. And then it's hard to understand what God was up to. And I think this is one of those stories that's really hard to get a hold of. But I am amazed, because when Abraham is with Isaac and he prepares the wood and actually ropes Isaac down, he still says to his son, the Lord will provide an alternative. The Lord will provide. And so even amidst all that pain that Abraham and the son must have been going through, imagine if I just laid Jared down on, made a big pile of wood. My goodness, I can't even comprehend it. But God said, just at that last moment when the knife was coming out, stop! Whew. And there's a ram caught in the thicket, and they put that on the altar instead. And now God said to Abraham, he repeated his covenant with him and said, I'm going to bless you and all nations are going to be blessed through you. We have got a lot to be thankful for because of the faith of Abraham. Father Abraham had many. Many sons had. Come on. I am one of them and so are you. I know you Africans sing this still because I've been up there. And we will praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. Okay, right leg. Okay, all right. And then it says in Isaiah 19b, it says, I will make a road in the wilderness. I will make a road in thee. When it appears that there is no way out. Oh, I've had a few of those. When it appears there's no way forward, God is preparing his provision. He has a new plan. And Abraham is preparing to bind up his son, but he had a new plan. The bushes, there's a ram. He says, thank you, God. I'm saved. I don't have to kill my only son. I knew that you must have had a plan. Why did you put me through that? Who's ever said that to God? I'll tell you what, our faith grows. So you might have challenging situations. You might have done some stuff that you have to work through and have some discomfort in life. Well, isn't that part of growing up in God? Let's put faith into action in 2015. Put on the new man because God has a brand new plan. And lastly, renew your future through heaven. Thanks, Brim. He's always very suave, isn't he? Wes, you could take some direction from your brother. I thought you had work boots on for a second there. Anyway, in the beginning, God created the heavens. God created the heavens first. Yeah? And Jesus said in the New Testament, interestingly enough, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. First, the heavenly world. So the spiritual world, we've talked about this in Colossians, haven't we? The spiritual world dominates the physical world. Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Who's looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth? No? Some of you. If you want to change your natural world, you have to start affecting your heavenly world. You need to change frequencies this morning. You need to tune into the world of the Spirit. And when you do, God has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How did Abraham know God was going to provide for him? Because Abraham tuned in to the realm of the Spirit. He had gone to his future in God. He had gone to the promises of God. I will bless you and I will make nations out of you. He held on to the promise. He received the gift of faith. He knew God would provide. Why don't we say it this morning together? I know God will provide. Ready? I know God will provide. And if you're reacting to your physical world by always complaining, I never do that. Ha ha. Always being negative. Always thinking things are just going to get worse. We can't activate faith. God wants us to activate the new man. You know, my negative needs no encouragement whatsoever. And that's why I want to do good news stories again in 2015, because it's easy to go to the negative. Who's got some good news this morning? And you know, immediately people are thinking, oh, think of the problems. Who's with me? We think of the bad stuff. But God's got a new plan. God's got a new way. So when we're positive about our future, he can activate when we're singing that new song, when we're renewing our mind and spirit, our heart. We're able to connect with the heavenly world. The more you leave things alone, the more the negative will sprout up in your life. I don't have any problem if I just left. I've only got a small garden now, but you know, it amazes me that I only have to leave it alone for about a week and the weeds are there. You've got to tend your garden. We've got to tend our spiritual worlds. Will you, with me this year, determine to tend your spiritual world? Put faith into action. It's a new day. Say it with me. It's a new year. Come on. Make today a new you.